Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, there's a story. Mark Sinise, we're back. Story on Josina Anderson out at ESPN, as we'll mix in some sports information as it comes here, Ike. But Josina Anderson, longtime NFL reporter and insider, is out at ESPN, that according to the New York Post. So does that mean that now they can get rid of Alshon since Jack?
I don't know who's going to break the story now.
Well, it won't be her.
Well, not as a part of ESPN.
Not as a part of ESPN, that is, yeah. She might still break it, yeah.
Yeah, she's still got a Twitter.
Yeah, she still has a social media platform, yeah.
I mean, did she end up at FS1? I think just from reading through an article here, she had gotten herself in some trouble with some stuff that she, with tweets and whatever, but, I mean, She still has, you know, players talk to her.
Yeah.
Off the record.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, with so many different insiders out there, you know, she's going to have to prove her worth to a company that deems her valuable, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's really what it boils down to. ESPN, they saw fit to get rid of her.
Yeah, and as it says in the column, it says they'll replace Anderson with a combo of Field Yates, Jeremy Fowler, Dan Graziano, Deanna Rossini.
Rossini,
people,
yeah,
like they like her, and then Kim Martin. Kimberly Martin's very good. She's
now,
new.
Her, I don't know. Yeah,
she's new. She came from New York too. I think she was the Daily News, but she's had a nice run in New York, so she's pretty good too.
I do remember Josina had some tweets. I know we. People frown on her here because of the Alshon stuff. I get it. But she actually had gotten herself into some trouble, I believe, with some stuff she had tweeted.
It was
out.
The Myles Garrett.
Is that what it was, the Myles Garrett thing?
Yeah, she was saying it was about Mason Rudolph and him saying something, and she tweeted out something.
Right.
So anyway.
I remember something that happened, and she wound up deleting a tweet or whatever.
Yep. All right, so that's that as we look forward to football season again. I wanted to give a shout-out to the Philadelphia Fire Department because they have been battling. I think at last count that I read, it was 328 fires just from since this weekend.
What?
And to where, like, everybody's working and everybody's on fumes right now. I mean, think about it. And we're not just talking about the huge fires that we're seeing on the news. There's also a lot of smaller fires that are being
started, sent. Right.
Right. So, I mean, and they have to investigate it, too. They just can't say, obviously, someone set this place on fire. They have to actually do a thorough investigation. And they're even saying at the scenes of the fire, like, we have to investigate. This could have just been a coincidence. But, yeah, so the fire department really has been working their tail off this weekend to, you know, they're saving neighborhoods, man.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, they are public service. Men and women have been out there, and I'm pretty sure it has been an exhausting 48 hours, right? Like, coming from this weekend, and it's still going on. I mean, they are still trying to make sure they protect this city from any further damage while also allowing the protesters to be able to have the right to do that as long as it's being done peacefully.
Correct.
Right? So it's still going on. Like you said, we see right outside the building here
it looks like
areas being closed off.
They've Market Street blocked off to where it doesn't thank God we didn't park in front of the building today, Ike, or we wouldn't necessarily be getting out of there. But, yeah, so citywide curfew goes into effect at 6 o'clock. So if you're headed out of the city, expect there to be some traffic issues.
Yeah.
just because of closures and things like that. And I'm sure we'll be affected when we get out of here at 6 o'clock. One more thing, and we'll go back to the phones. We've had a lot of police officers that I at least have been direct messaging me on social media accounts. And Luke had said he had tried to call earlier, but he wasn't able to hang on. He actually created a Twitter account just to direct message me because he wanted to say something.
Okay.
He said, "I want to change the divide, and thank you so much for taking the time today to speak about this. Driving in my patrol car listening to this gives me hope and gives us all extra motivation. Listen to you guys for years, and you're really great on the radio, et cetera, et cetera." But he said, just keep going. Like, they want to change, too. They want things to be different, too.
Yeah. And like I said, I know police officers personally, you know, it's out in the community where I'm at, and yeah, these are the type of discussions that are going on. The problem is that with officers that are basically at the same level, it's like, how do you go about it, right? Are you're supposed to be brothers in arms? You know, you get labeled a quote-unquote rat if you're telling on another police officer. So they have that to internalize as well. And it takes a lot for someone to be able to say, you know what? No, I see this as a much more important issue that isn't right, that needs to be resolved, that I don't care what type of backlash I'm going to get over it.
And it also needs to start from the top, right?
Like
I don't know if this is the case or not, but it should be encouraged to all officers to say, listen, if you're seeing something, there's an anonymous way for you to report that so we can investigate it. The actual police departments need to want to do this too.
Yep.
There just can't be a lot of speak. And like you said, with some officers, it's like, well, I know this guy's dirty, but who am I really going to say it to?
Right.
Like, what am I going to do about it?
Yep.
Everybody needs to start speaking up and speaking out.
I like the anonymous line to be able, if you don't want to be identified, I mean,
there needs to be a way to report this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There needs to be, to where people feel comfortable doing it. And that goes for everybody. All right, let's go to Pop in North Philly. You ever know a Pop?
Oh, yeah. I've known a few Pops in my life.
Pop in North Philly. Pop, how are you?
Hey, what's going on? First of all, I want to send my condolences to the Floyd family, and my prayers goes up to George Floyd as well. For a long time, it's been systematic and institutionalized racism, and as long as that still exists, uprisings like this is going to continue to happen, okay? We can go back where we have people get passed along through police brutality, through neighborhood watches, as far as the Trayvon Martin situation. George Zimmerman got off on that.
Okay. Yes.
They done a peaceful protest. Nothing happened. Okay. It still didn't change. A couple of years later, Eric Garner, he got choked out. Okay. The guy Daniel Plantino, 5 years later, it took him to get charged. Okay. Why does it take so long for us to get any type of social justice? And then you're looking at the Floyd situation right now. Okay. You got one cop that's charged, but what about the other three? And that's why these uprisings keep happening. And when you got peaceful protesting, people protesting is basically verbal, okay? But when you start doing all the crazy things, the lighting the fires and whatnot, that's action. And as we all know, action speaks louder than words, okay? And then when you look back on the Colin Kaepernick situation, okay, he knelt. He knelt for social justice. He knelt for police brutality, okay? Where this guy, Derek Coughlin, he knelt to kill somebody, man. And that hurts. And that's what they feel right now. This generation that's growing in now, you're not going to see a lot of peaceful things going on because it's been happening for too long. And something has to change for society to change as a whole.
Man, I can feel it in your voice, Pop.
Thank you, Pop.
And I understand. And it's hard for people to want to, you know, do the right thing and express themselves the right way and not allow frustration to overcome them and anger to overcome them, right? It's like at some point, and again, I'm not condoning any of the looting or the rioting that went on, but what Pop is trying to express there is at some point, doing things peacefully doesn't get it done. And there's been a lot of peaceful protests and marches throughout years and years and years, for decades. We know prominent leaders, right? We know all the leaders, and we know how things ended up. And that's why, again, not condoning it, but that's why you also see the anger come to the forefront as well. Right? It's like, hold on, you can't kill someone and then expect everybody to be peaceful about it and not be upset over it. Right? It's hard to constantly tell Black America that there's a nonviolent, peaceful way to do this that doesn't need to end in destruction.
Yeah, the strategy and tactic that's being used isn't working, so we're going to one up it.
Right.
And I mean, and that's there's a lot of people that feel like that, Ike.
Yeah.
And when it's said, and the ears, my ears, white ears are hearing that, it's tough to hear because it's like they're not wrong. Like they're wrong because there shouldn't be violence, but they're also not wrong in what they're saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're still here, aren't we? It's 2020 and we're still here.
And
the
we're
same
still
thing,
talking about it.
The same
yeah.
thing's still happening.
Yep.
You know, you would think that a country would make strides in all these years because we know it's wrong. Yep. We know it's wrong.
Yep.
Everybody knows it's wrong, but yet we're still here. Let's go to Angry Al checking in. Angry Al, what's up?
Johnny Mark.
How are you?
What's up? Hi.
Hi, Al.
What's up, Al?
Yo, and the Millie.
Millie just he just gave a clueless look to you.
Yeah.
You're fine.
You keep saying, how do we fix this? How do we fix this? How do we change it? How do we keep it from happening again? We can't. There's no we in it. I'm a Black man. I can't stop white people from being racist. There's nothing I can do to make white people stop being racist. Only white people can stop being racist. Only white people can do something to the system to make the system stop being racist. Okay? And all this, community policing and all that crap, that's what it is. It's a bunch of crap because the guys that are running these police departments, how do you think they got to be chief? Go back and look at some of these guys' records and see how many complaints of police brutality are against them. You think that they're running in the police department because they were doing something to straighten it out? No, they're a major part of the problem. So until you guys start voting out these police chiefs, like your mom said, voting out these judges that refuse to find cops guilty, and start changing the structure from the top down, there's nothing nobody can do. Black people cannot stop white people from being racist. It's a real simple fact.
Can we stop cops from killing Black people? I mean, how about that? Al, listen, because I mean, frankly, like stopping racism's one thing, but just stopping murder is another. I'd like to start there.
Here's the deal. The next time you see a cop mistreating a Black guy, stop. Pull your camera out. Take a picture of it. Say something to them. But that's the whole thing. Nobody's willing to say nothing.
But that's what we can
Nobody
do.
Nobody has the balls to say something. But you know what? I made a decision the other night watching this crap on TV because even the cops at the riots are being brutal to the legitimate protesters, and they're letting the looters loose. So here's the deal. You know what I decided the other night? I'm not dying like George Floyd. If anything, I'm dying fighting. You understand me? This is enough of this crap.
Well, Al, I'd like to tell you were wrong, but I mean, and he's out just like that. I mean, I would normally tell you not to fight with the police, but
I would advise not to do that. But just because I want to continue to talk to Al, you know, when you decide to fight against the police officers, you are taking your life and putting it at risk. And I get exactly what he's saying. He's basically saying. I'm not going to stand by and just let somebody kill me. I'm fighting it. That's because he's saying George Floyd wasn't doing anything. He wasn't fighting police officers. He wasn't resisting arrest.
Yeah, maybe if he didn't, they wouldn't have.
Right. That's what he said. Maybe if he had resisted, it doesn't end the way that it did. I can't necessarily say that because we've seen guys resist arrest, get restrained and still wind up dead. So I get what Al is saying, and that's the frustration that he's speaking, man. As a Black man, he's saying that could be me.
Yep.
He's saying that could, and that's what I said. That's what I said, right? So sometimes it's not about your economic status. What Eleanor was speaking about, which she's right, and I have explained that to my kids, living where you live at doesn't absolve you from having to deal with issues that the black community has to deal with. Being black in America.
You're still black.
You're still black in America. So it doesn't absolve you. So that's the extra conversation I have to have. And I don't mind it. It's my job as a parent to make sure that my wife and I are having these conversations with them. You know why? Because they begin to have all sorts of things swirling through their head. They have plenty of white friends. They can't say they didn't grow up around white people. Right? So, and then when you see what's happening on TV, how do you internalize that and then apply it to your own life when you're a teenager and then try to make sense out of it? Am I not supposed to be friends anymore? Because
yeah,
this happened,
tough.
Right? Like, the police officer whose kid I play flag football with as well, do we not?
Is he my friend or is
exactly,
he an enemy?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So these are the things you have to make sure you're having, at least I do, so that he doesn't just label everybody the same, right? You just can't do that, but you have to be aware of this could be potentially you.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, it very easily could be you.
Yeah.
You know, it's strange. Like, I'm in high school in the early 90s, and mm-hmm. the handful of black classmates that I had, I would say I was friends with all of them. Mm-hmm. And right during that time was Rodney King, everything else that was going on in the country, and you definitely saw a change, plus your age, to where you're experiencing racism for the first time.
Right.
You're actually seeing it, and it's affecting you.
Right.
Right? And to where that's where, like, and then, listen, it changed. I mean, it changed my relationship with them. It changed, right? It's tough.
Yeah.
I can't. You said it on Friday. I heard you talk about it again a little bit this morning with conversations that you have to have with your sons about how to you're teaching Elijah to drive right now.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the driving manual is, in case you get pulled over, what do you do? How do you stop it from being some of the stuff we've seen?
Yeah.
And that's not something as a white man that I've ever thought ever in my head about teaching or being taught to drive. That's not in our manual.
Right.
Doesn't need to be. And if we have that's something we can remember. Just think of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Rose in New Jersey. Rose, how are you?
Hi. Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Rose.
How you doing, Rose?
I really want to touch my heart Friday. It's been kind of choked up ever since. Being vulnerable like that and putting your emotions down on the line, but thank you for doing so. Your courage was, and
thank you, Rose.
It's been very sad for me, angry. I was on the other show earlier, and my background a little bit is I'm a white woman in her 60s. I grew up in Southwest Philadelphia when we had some rough times in the city. Going forward in the 70s and 80s with Wilson Good, and our city was burning then.
Yep.
And they were race riots. There's a difference, I feel, with what's going on now. And any human being, regardless of color, if you didn't feel something in your heart after watching Mr. Floyd die on that pavement there and hearing his cries and then the people behind telling the cops, if you've seen some of the video,
drawing
attention and yelling.
Yep.
And one of the officers turned to him and said, hey, maybe we need to turn him on the side. You know, apparently.
It could have been prevented mm-hmm. very easily. Right now in Center City, a massive protest is going on. It is very much peaceful. Okay. I'm watching live footage here from the ground from Kristen Johansson of our sister station KYW News Radio, and most of the protesters are walking with their arms up. Mm-hmm. Got to be a couple thousand people, so they're working their way down Market Street right now. We're at 24th and Market. It has not worked its way up here, or I don't know if they're going to bring it up here, but they're not far away from us right now.
Okay.
So we'll look outside, and I have to make this observation. A good mixture of white people and African Americans. A very good mix.
And that's I listen, to me, that is a wonderful thing to see. It's being done the right way. And if I can sit here and try to explain to people that this isn't a black issue, it's a human race issue, that we all should be troubled by it and want to make it better, then when I see protesting going on, I shouldn't just see black people out there. Right? I shouldn't just see black people out there. I should see white people out there as well. If you are truly affected by it and bothered by it, then those are the type of faces that I'm going to see in the crowd. And I must say, it has been that way all weekend. It has been that way all weekend across the country. Man, I have seen a lot of white people out there. I have.
Yep.
Jack, did you head down?
He did not. And they're actually walking away from us, Ike. They're walking to City Hall. But Jack was tweeting about minor league baseball this morning.
I said, Jack, did you head down? You had to see his face. Because it really said, hell no, I didn't head down there.
Yeah, he's not capable of. Jack is a very kind person.
Oh man, he would not have lasted long in the crowd out there.
Could you imagine? Oh my goodness,
he couldn't handle.
I wouldn't have lasted out there.
He couldn't handle the fantasy draft with T from college.
Well, he is pretty intimidating. I was stuck in the middle of an intense conversation. Okay, that's all I forgot about.
Remember that?
You're right. Yeah, yeah. T was worked up. T's funny. Yeah, I experienced looting once, and it was so stupid. It was by and you'll remember this, when on the Fat Tuesday they used to have, like, people would just go crazy down on South Street.
Sure.
Partying and stuff.
Yeah.
And it got too big.
I remember.
And storefronts were getting busted out, and people were going in and stealing everything. And I'm literally like right in the middle of this because I have nowhere to go. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh my, what the hell is going on here? And that's the last year they allowed any of that kind of partying down there. But
never been a part of.
In a Penn State one thing, time.
Yeah.
Penn State one
they
time.
They looted at Penn State?
They started. It was Arts Fest weekend. They started shaking the poles down, and then they were running the poles through the. Yeah, just idiots. Just idiots. No reason.
For sure, yeah. Yeah. I just,
drunk idiots.
Yep. That's normally how it is.
And the looting and the rioting that was happening down here wasn't happening from the peaceful protesters. It was happening
right.
from the people that wanted to start
trouble. Came
to
loot and riot. Yeah.
Yep.
And I really do believe, no excuse, but I do believe the whole 40-plus million people being unemployed and being in this pandemic, and what you saw there was, in my opinion, with people, and again, there's no excuse for it, these are people that are trying to take advantage and hide under the protesting and see that there are large crowds gathering and saying, hey, here's our opportunity to go out here and break in some stuff, break some windows and steal some stuff.
There's no doubt in my mind yesterday, because it was at 6 o'clock when that Target up there off of City Line Avenue started to get looting. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt in my mind that some people are like probably watching on TV and said, free stuff, let's go.
Yeah.
And they ran up there.
Let's head down there. Yeah, let's head over there. Yep.
Yep. 215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese. We have a retired police officer coming up next that wants to discuss it from Miami. He's probably in Miami now.
Okay, yeah.
But we'll talk to him, and we'll talk to you coming up after this. 215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
Yeah. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.